This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our work through the Psalter, reflecting on Psalms 143 through 145. Enter not into judgment, my rock. Blessed are the people, one generation to another, and an everlasting kingdom. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste around me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
The Lord has enlightened us in the true faith.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing with joyful voice to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving.
The Lord has enlightened us in the true faith. Thank you.
A reading from Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and it will be their, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord,
blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, let all the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, let all the
prophet Jeremiah was called to preach at one of the darkest moments in Israel's history. Jerusalem was falling. The temple, well, it would soon be destroyed, and the people had broken the covenant over and over again through idolatry, unbelief, and rebellion. Every warning God had given through Moses and the prophets had been ignored. The old covenant was holy, righteous, and good. It revealed God's perfect will and exposed Israel's sin. But it could not change sinful hearts. The problem was never God's covenant. At the very heart of the problem were the hearts of the sinful people. Yet into this bleak landscape comes one of the brightest promises in the Old Testament. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. God doesn't promise another law. He doesn't promise Israel another opportunity to prove her faithfulness. Nor does he merely revise the covenant made at Sinai. Instead, he promises a covenant established entirely upon and in his grace. And through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord points his people forward to Christ. This morning, as we gather around God's word, we hear the Lord's promise of a new and better covenant. And let us, therefore, reflect upon and always treasure the gracious gifts that it delivers. And the first reason this new and better covenant is such a treasure is that it will not fail. It will not fail. The Lord says, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers, my covenant that they broke. Israel's history is It's a tragic record of broken promises. Even before Moses descends from Sinai, the people fashion the golden calf. And throughout the centuries, they turn to other idols over and over again, trusted foreign kings instead of the Lord himself, and trampled upon the needy, and despised the preaching of the prophets. Their history is, in many ways, our own. We confess with sorrow that we too have not loved the Lord our God with our whole heart and our neighbors as ourselves. One of the humbling lessons that every pastor learns is that the greatest obstacle to ministry is not first the unbelieving culture, the shrinking congregations, or the hostility shown to Christianity. The foremost obstacle is the sinful heart. Our own hearts and the hearts of those that we're called to serve. If salvation depends upon our faithfulness, well, we're absolute failures. None of us would stand before God. But thanks be to God, the new covenant rests not upon our promises to Him, but upon His promises to you. The writer to the Hebrews proclaims in chapter 8 that Christ is the mediator of a better covenant because His once-for-all sacrifice accomplishes what the sacrifices of the Old Testament never could. Every time we gather at the Lord's table, we hear those familiar words. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. The covenant is sealed not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the holy and precious blood of the Son of God Himself. Its very foundation is Christ crucified. And since Christ cannot fail, His covenant cannot fail. That's our confidence. The second reason this new and better covenant is such a treasure is that it's written in our hearts. The Lord declares, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. Here, notice who's doing the writing. The Lord says, I will. God doesn't hand you blank tablets and then commands you to write His law yourself. He doesn't wait for you to transform your own hearts. He's the one who creates faith by His word and spirit. He's the one who gives a new heart. He's the one who writes the law upon it. What the law could never accomplish by commanding, God accomplishes through the gospel by giving His promises. In holy baptism, He gave you a new heart. Through the preaching of Christ crucified, He continually renews your mind. Through holy absolution, He comforts your conscience with the certainty of the forgiveness of your sins. In the Holy Supper, He strengthens your faith by feeding you with the true body and blood of Christ. Jeremiah is not describing self-improvement. He's describing God's gracious recreation of sinners. And this is a vital reminder for those preparing for the pastoral office. We're often tempted to think that the church needs something more than word and sacrament. Better strategies, more impressive program and programming, greater creativity. But the Lord Himself tells us exactly how hearts are changed. He writes upon them through His living word. The ministry remains wonderfully simple, brothers. Preach Christ crucified. Preach Christ faithfully. Baptize. Absolve. Administer the sacraments. And the Holy Spirit accomplishes His work through these means, not through you. His work. We're simply His servants. And finally, this new and better covenant is such a treasure because it offers full and free forgiveness. Jeremiah reaches the summit of God's promise when the prophet declares, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Everything in this reading leads to these words. The new covenant is not primarily about moral improvement. It's about the real and the permanent forgiveness of sinners. Again, notice who acts. God says, I will forgive. I will remember their sin no more. The Lord doesn't ignore our sins or pretend that they never existed for that matter. Rather, he laid every one of them upon his beloved Son. At Calvary, Christ bore the full wrath of God's anger against sin. There, justice was completely satisfied. There, the debt was fully paid. There, forgiveness was won for the entire world. And this forgiveness is the priceless treasure that's entrusted to the church. It's the treasure entrusted to this seminary. And that's why we are so grateful. We are so grateful for rigorous theological education, for careful exegesis, the study of historical theology, and faithful pastoral formation. Yet all of these disciplines serve one central purpose: preparing servants of Christ to deliver the forgiveness of sins in his name. Every sermon proclaims forgiveness. Every baptism bestows forgiveness. Every absolution delivers forgiveness. Every celebration of the Lord's Supper gives forgiveness. Every single hospital visit, every deathbed conversation, every pastoral call ultimately points sinners to the forgiveness Christ won by his own blood. My brothers, this is the church's greatest treasure. It never grows old. It never loses power. It never depends on the worthiness of the pastor or of the hearers. It depends entirely upon Jesus, whose blood established the new covenant once and for all. May we always treasure this new and better covenant. Why? Because Jeremiah's promise has become our present reality. Whenever we hear our Lord say, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood," we receive exactly what Jeremiah foretold. The better covenant has come. It cannot fail because Christ cannot fail. It's written upon believing hearts through the Holy Spirit's work in the means of grace. And it grants complete and free forgiveness because Christ Jesus has made complete atonement for every sin. God grant that we always treasure this covenant before every earthly possession. And as God sends us into his harvest, may he keep us faithful in giving us this priceless treasure. Lord, help us give it freely, boldly, and joyfully through the preaching of his word and forgiveness, until that day when faith becomes sight and we rejoice forever before the throne of the Lamb who established this covenant with his own blood. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand.
Oh.
us pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, by the patient suffering of your only begotten Son, you have beaten down the pride of the old enemy. Now help us, we humbly pray, rightly to treasure our hearts all that our Lord has of his goodness, borne for our sake, that after his example we may bear with patience all that is adverse to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us through this beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.